and good evening, everybody. This is Radio Ranch Wrangler Kyle, and welcome to Saddle Up. Today is June 26, 2012. This is the Scriptures for America worldwide broadcast. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. This radio broadcast is heard every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Mountain Time on satellite, shortwave, and internet radio. The shortwave frequency dial at this time is 5.755 on the world's greatest shortwave station, WTWW. An internet website with 24-hour-a-day radio listening is www.scriptures4america.org. Just go there and click on the 24-hour live radio, and you can listen to messages by Pastor Peters and others all day and every day. Now stay tuned. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back. Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. That is Matthew 23:23 and 24. And I wish I knew how to pronounce that word, A-N-I-S-E. Anise, anise, anus. I don't really know how to do it, but excuse me. But this is Saddle Up, and I am Radio Ranch Wrangler Kyle, and it is June 26, 2012. The weightier matters of the law, it says here, in what we read. And then it gives you a list. Judgment, mercy, and faith. And then it goes on to say, these ought you to have done, and not leave the other undone. So that doesn't mean you just disregard the rest of the law, but what it means is there's weightier matters, and there's not so weightier matters. Let's go to James. James 2, and we'll read verses 8 through 11. If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou committest no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Keep the weightier matters. The weightier matters of the law. Keep the royal law, as it said. And do not have respect of persons. Let's read the next two verses, 12 and 13. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that have showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. You see, nobody can live the law perfectly. So if you're going to be guilty of one, you're going to be guilty of all, just like it said. But we've already discussed that. We've already discussed how you become under grace. Now, whether you want to hear it or not, I don't really care. You see, the law killeth. So what do we have to do then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Is the law done away with? God forbid. Is it nailed to the cross and nobody's supposed to speak of it anymore? God forbid. The deal is, we have the weightier matters of the law. And with that, yes, comes judgment. Absolutely. The tongue of the righteous speaks of judgment. But also comes mercy. For if you don't have mercy, well, in Matthew 5:7 it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And on the contrary, if you are not merciful, you will not obtain mercy. The weightier matters of the law. You see, tonight's show is going to be just simply named legalism. Now, I've always called it Phariseeism because that's what it's called in the Bible. Somewhere, sometime in the church world, or maybe it wasn't in the church world, I just assume it was, but it's kind of been changed to legalism. Same thing. It's the pharisaical, legalistic attitude that people have, condemning one another for not keeping certain parts of the law. But other parts they don't keep, but they don't condemn themselves. And a lot of times, it's been my experience with the legalists, is they don't keep the weightier matters. They don't keep judgment with mercy, for instance. Let's go to Matthew 12 and read a little story. Matthew 12, 1 through 7. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and they went there, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. So there was the pharisaical attitude, the legalistic attitude. You see, the legalistic Pharisee did what they always do. They condemned the guiltless. Let's go to Mark 2. Mark 2, and we'll read just three verses, 15 through 17. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. Jesus did not call the righteous. Good thing. Because until you're called, until you're chosen and faithful, there are none righteous. None of us. So if he came to call the righteous, he would have been out of luck. Because no, there's not one righteous. Except through Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to talk about legalism. But first, we're going to go to a song. Again, this is Radio Ranch Wrangler Kyle. And I'm coming to you live from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. Welcome to Saddle Up. So grab your reins, saddle up, and let's ride.
Saddle up, saddle up, saddle up, and ride. Gabriel's trumpet blast no more. Saddle up, you men to leather born. Your graves will yield their sleep and pray. This is the dawning of the judgment day.
Saddle up,
saddle up, saddle up, saddle up. The list is long, you'll hear the names. Billy the Kid,
Jesse James,
Johnny Ringo, Curly Bill. They're all sleeping now on some blue hill. Rise up your faithful ponies, wave. Saddle up and ride through the golden gate. The judge will call you one by one, and not a man will back a gun.
Saddle up,
saddle up.
He called them those he knows should ride.
Just as they live, just as they die.
Some are doomed by the judge's word.
To the ghostly riders and the devil's herd.
Saddle up,
saddle up. The list is long and you all know.
Wild Bill Hickok,
Geronimo,
Sitting Bull and Old Sam Bass, who now through judgment's portals pass.
So hear that trumpet, loser fears.
Although you slept for over 60 years,
you never really ever died.
So saddle up and ride,
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 ride.
Saddle up and ride,
ride,
ride. Saddle up
and saddle up, and welcome back. Tonight's show entitled Legalism. I want to open the phone lines tonight. In fact, I'm going to open up right now if you want to call. The phone number here is 307-745-5913. I got quite a few notes, but I don't really care if I go through them all. If you got something to say on legalism, or really any other matter, I don't care. Whatever's on your mind, you can talk about, but I'm going to talk about a little bit about legalism. See, we talked earlier about the weightier matters, the royal law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is, you know, as much as some people don't like to hear it, that is so important. Now, who's your neighbor? That's, you know, who's your brother? I mean, those are clearly interpreted in the scriptures, and we could go there, and we probably will go there in the future. But let's live the weightier matter. The rest of it will follow. Like I said before, when you enter the new covenant, the laws of God are written on your heart and your mind. The laws of God will be followed. But let's look at those weightier matters. Now, the phone line's already lit up. There's somebody on the phone. But I'm going to read this one little story in Matthew 22. I'm going to read verses 34 through 40, and then we'll go to the caller. So hang on. 34 through 40 of Matthew 22. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, what's the difference, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Isn't it funny how all these guys, they all talk about the law, but they hardly ever bring up the royal law, the two greatest commandments. Even though all the law and all the prophets hang on these two. But yet the legalist, the Pharisee attitude, they continue to say, let's do this, or you gotta do that, or this, or that, or it just goes on, and they avoid the weightier matters. They condemn you or others for doing little tiny things. And when the truth comes out, it's a faith issue. It's like, and we might get to it later, Romans 14. When them that don't eat all things, meat, you know, they basically judge those that do. And those that do eat all things, meat, not just herbs, not just lettuce and vegetables and all that stuff, you know, it's a faith issue. We're not to judge those issues. I got to read this. Mark 12. Sorry, caller. I hope you're still hanging on. Mark 12, 28 through 34. And one of the scribes came, and having heard the reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And the reason why I'm reading this is because it kind of says something different here at the end in Mark. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And then this is the verse I want it to sink in. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Because of his answer, and he knew that Jesus spoke well, even though their intentions were to get him, Jesus says, Now are not far from the kingdom of God, because that's the weightier matters. So let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi there, Kyle. It's Brent calling here from Canada. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Brent?
Pretty good. Nice and hot up here, about, I don't know, 80-something. So
yeah, I'm looking at the thermometer here in the office, and it's 86.9 degrees. A little warm.
That's nice. I like it that way.
At 7:20 at night, you know.
Yeah, 8:25 here. Or, well, 8:20, yeah. I guess, yeah. Anyway, the legalist... Yeah, I'm really thinking the conspiracy of the legalist. It's time to reveal the legalist. I've had experience with them, so hopefully I have a few minutes because I do want to throw some of that at you.
Sure. But
what happened was just before I decided to phone, I caught the end of the Solutions program, and they were saying they need someone to stand in for liberty, and I agree. Hallelujah. And I found one. Luke 4:18, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. We got him, so we got our man. Also, just one other comment, because I just, at the end there, another comment that triggered for me here was something about love. I think a comment was said that we don't need more love or something. And so it made me think of John 17, verse 20 to 26. And this is Jesus Christ again. And he's talking to our Father in heaven just before they killed him. And the Pharisees and everybody else there. And he mentions love in here a few times, but my point here is that he's praying for them, but then he says that he doesn't pray just for them, but he prays for those that would believe on him, on Jesus Christ, through their word, which is us. That's how we believe. It was through their word. So I just want to read this, too, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Go for it.
Yeah. Okay, this is John 17, 20 to 26. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word. That's us. That's the listeners out there. That's the those that have been baptized, you know, into Jesus Christ, that have the Spirit of God and the sheep that hear his voice. And he says, that they may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and lovest them, even as thou lovest, it's hard to say lovest me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world knew thee not, but I knew thee. And that's the only way you can know Jesus Christ, or know the Father is through Jesus. And these knew that thou didst send me. And I made known unto them thy name, and will make it known that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. And I just, if you don't mind, I just want to give some of my experience with the Pharisee, or the legalist, pardon me.
Well, let me comment on that first.
Well, sure, sorry.
Because, yeah, you know, the word love, because it's been so perverted, you know, many people try to stay away from it, you know.
Mm.
And
totally.
I think I talked too loud, but anyway. They try to stay away with it, so it's almost become a bad word amongst us. And
yeah.
And it should not be a bad word amongst us. Yes, we should hate evil.
Mm-hmm.
But we have an obligation to love Christ, love his body, which is the members of Christ. And that is, I mean, face it, that's the greatest commandment. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I mean, no matter how many laws and how many, you know, statutes and judgments you want to read, I want to know the greatest. I want to know the weightier matters, the ones that basically I can pertain to my life today, you know. I mean, I want to know all the law. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know why anybody would say they wouldn't want to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, when we receive the Spirit and we receive those laws written on our hearts and minds, most of those laws, they're there. You know, now we don't always live them because we continually fall and we continually have to repent. But, but to, you know, to avoid certain things like love, mercy, compassion, and the basis of Christianity, which is you're no longer under law, you're under grace. And that's, you know, that's a dispensation. You can say it however you want, but it's a fact, you know?
Yeah.
And like you said, if you want to receive mercy on Judgment Day, you better give mercy. Anyway, that being said, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to getting a big hug from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, that's fear. If people are fearing the judgment, those in Christ, we should be looking forward to seeing that day for what he's done for us.
Right.
And we overcome and endure to the end, of course. I mean, I hate when I have to even qualify, come on, you know, but they have to, because the legalist, right away, they're
sometimes
good.
Sometimes, yeah.
Legalist, oh, they're good. They can quote this authority, scriptures, and, you know, they do. But the thing is, if we have the mind of Christ, if we have the Holy Spirit, we will keep the law. We will keep the law because Jesus Christ keeps the law. And if he's in us, we will, but we'll keep it with mercy. We'll have grace. We won't overjudge people, and we'll judge at the right time. We won't judge before the time, you know. This business of having to, sort of qualify when we use scriptures regarding law and love and grace is crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, you know, as I say, the conspiracy of the legalist, they actually have disdain for the word love. I just got to be frank here. They do. I've seen it, and I'm talking from experience here. And it works so good because when a legalist can get in a situation like, say, our ministry where we trash those that that abuse grace, and we should. They preach another Jesus. They've it's awful, and we're big and strong in that. And we need to be because it's a problem. But the legalist loves that because the legalist rests on the law and has pride in the law. So when they hear the word love, oh yeah, that's weak. Anytime there's love, it's all the Billy Graham stuff. No, it's not. As you've rightly done in the beginning, you know the scriptures regarding love and the ones you just did say too. So, but I do have more, but I'm going to let you get in again there.
Well, I was just thinking about, I already read it, but in James 2, in verse 13 where it says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that have showed no mercy." And, you know, that's really what it pertains to, because the legalists never show mercy. I mean, I came out of systems kind of like you did. You know, there was so many, now I didn't realize how legalistic it was till we got out. You know, I mean,
Yeah. Seriously,
I didn't know I had chains around my neck. I didn't know I was in bondage until I got out of it. And I looked back and it's like, are you kidding me? Why did I go along with that for so long? You know, but they do. They have judgment without mercy. You know,
mm-hmm.
they do certain parts of the law perfectly. I mean, they really do.
Yeah.
But they all have their points, and it, you know, of course you don't always see it because you don't always know people that well. But believe me, because I believe the Bible, I know they all do not obey the law perfectly. It's impossible. And like we read, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of the law. So you can keep 99.9% of the law, and if you are guilty of not keeping part of it, you're guilty of the whole thing. That's why it's so important that we preach the gospel, the good news, throughout the land, and we get people out from under that law of bondage, you know, and get them under grace, because you'll never be able to. Those tablets of stones, they're immovable.
They're immovable. Yeah.
No mercy. It's this way or the highway. And we'll never be able to make it like that, you know.
Yeah.
It's the new circumcision, where that is made with your heart, which I've heard the pastor put it before. A heart is soft. God can mold it, you know, and he can have mercy and compassion. That doesn't mean you have a freedom to do whatever you want and sow your wild oats. And I mean, on the contrary, you know. But at the same time, it's not that hardness, you know, hardness of heart. But anyway, go ahead, Brent. Keep going.
Yeah. No, that's true. And I just want to say, too, I triggered some reason a thought. You mentioned Pastor Peters. I heard in the last program, I'll just be frank where I heard it from, sort of almost talking political, who's going to get in. You know what? If Pastor Peters was here, he'd say, "I'm voting for Jesus Christ." And he'd say, "I don't care who gets in, because you know what?
Amen.
It doesn't matter." That's what he'd say. So, I don't know. Just irked me when I
heard
it.
Well, even if, you know, I've fought this in the past. If a man isn't standing on the street corner, no matter how crazy he looks, you know, if he's a senator or whatever he is, standing on his soapbox or whatever you want to call it, if he's not preaching the gospel and telling people how to get saved or be accepted by the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, if he's not going that route, it's like, it's a waste of time, you know?
Total waste of time.
I mean, I mean, how many times have we heard in our days the Democratic Party bash the Republican Party and the Republican Party bash the Democratic Party? Or the ones that ain't even part of a party, you know, the Ron Pauls or whoever, and they're bashing it. It's all a game, you know?
Totally game.
You know, I mean, so what if one snake comes against another snake, or let's put it even like, if one unbeliever comes against another unbeliever, what good does that do anybody? We want them to be believers, you know, and that's where it should be. The lunatic that everybody calls a lunatic down on the street corner that's holding up a sign saying, you know, the day of the Lord is coming, repent. I have so much more respect for him than I do have any senator standing on a soapbox saying, you know, I hate the laws of man. Because that doesn't, so what? You got there by living the laws of man, and you're going to continue in those laws of man as long as you're not saying repent or perish or something to that effect, you know. And leave it to the preachers to tell you how to do that. That's fine, you know. But you know, evil against evil just doesn't impress on me.
No, two bowls of vomit, and you know you're supposed to choose one, and that's all it is. It's a game to keep people diverted, and definitely. Anyway, what I want to do, if I can, I'm just like I say, this legalist, you know, like I say, there's a conspiracy of the legalist. I'm looking at from my point of view on it, but you called it the show the legalist. They're dangerous. They really are. They're grace killers, and but they stand, you know, in strength. And I'm just going to give a real quick background on me here, it'll be quick on here for sure. Anyway, before Jesus Christ picked me up off the ground and brought me to the Father through him, you know, as with us all, there's a lot of confusion and sin, you know, and I knew I needed deliverance. And as it is, the Holy Spirit draws you and, you know, leads you. And I, you know, I knew I needed to be baptized. Mm-hmm. And I was watching many of these Bible programs on TV, religious programs. And you know, it's funny, I they all talked about sin, and I knew I was a sinner, but you know, it was like, well, you wanted to hear the list, you know, what are they? But you know, they never really seemed to say, because it was, you know, they wouldn't be definitive about sin. And so I was drawn to a ministry that they taught the Ten Commandments, and I thought, okay, that narrows it down. Ten Commandments, okay. And this ministry, they knew that we were Israel, which was good. But they also taught that the Jews were Judah, the chosen people, so the Zionist part of it. But anyway, so I, you know, as Acts 2:38, I was baptized, and, you know, and those listening that haven't been, you know, it's not a ritual. You have a new start. I had a brand new start. That slate was clean. All past sins gone. Just gone. And you're starting over brand new. And what a joy. And that's the true born-again experience, you know, those that abuse that name. It's a scriptural word, born-again, and it's, even in the King James, refers to, when you see the born-again, it refers to Acts 2:38 and Mark 16:16. Anyways, so I was on a high then, you know, that first love with emotion. You know, God mm-hmm. adds that emotion there for the lack of experience, and flying high. But, you know, in time we started to understand more of the teachings of the organization we were in,
right.
And well, they prided themselves that they kept all the Ten Commandments, all of them, you see, because they kept the Jewish Sabbath, sunset to Saturday to Friday to sunset Saturday. So, you know, we did that, and believe me, did it faithfully. I loved sports and that. I wouldn't even read the newspaper. I wanted to please God, you know, I really did, and the more they gave me to do, I did it. I want to please God. And but they also said that part of the Sabbath commandment meant the seven annual holy days. So I kept the seven annual holy days faithfully. Mm-hmm. Part of the law. You want to get into law, boys? Here it is. First tithe, second tithe, third tithe. And I'm serious. The second tithe went to keep the Feast of Tabernacles every year. And there's been people on Facebook who have talked about, oh, these holy days and this feast, you know, it sounds good. You know what? If you want to look it into on your own and bring Christ into it, yeah, it's good. But don't ever get into a group with that, because you get into that law and you keep going in it more and more and more, and suddenly there's no grace. It's a slippery road you don't want. Then there was holy day offerings on top of the all the tithing. But they always preached the law. And, you know, you never felt you measured up. And what happened is, suddenly, you know, that joy and the first love is sort of coming off the face a bit, you know. It's like, well, I don't measure up here, and I want to serve God, and suddenly more and more laws are being added. You know, you never felt that you had salvation. I mean, yes, we have to overcome and endure and all, but we should have the assurance in Christ. We know that. We should. And so because you don't feel measured up, you know, you get worn out, and that's what they do. And these ministers, they lorded it over the people. They spoke with authority, out of the law and loud, not passion. You know, Pastor Peters, when he spoke, it was with authority. Jesus Christ spoke with authority. And Moses spoke with authority. But they were men of humility and men of compassion, because that's true authority.
Amen.
There's no authority without humility. But these guys, they spoke loud just for the sake of being loud, to be heard, like the Pharisees, right? We need to be heard and seen, you know. They have the law, and they're strong. And we were the true church, you know. They taught the only church that teaches the law. Whoopee ding. Anyways, anyone that was in an authority position would speak for God. So rejecting their word of counsel was rejecting God. They had the answer for every aspect of life, and people were to counsel with them on every decision you did. So all of a sudden, life becomes pretty, pretty complicated. And you know,
well, what it becomes is chains around your nets.
Oh, you know?
I mean, that's what it becomes. It becomes heavy. You can't even hardly walk. You know?
Yeah. Well, in Galatians, Paul talks about that. You know, Paul comes along, it'd be like he saw me. Okay, Brent, you know, God picked you up off the ground. That's great. Boy, you've got that joy of salvation. You got a smile on your face, and the joy of the Lord is in you, and you're going. So he goes a while, comes back, and sees me in this organization with all these chains on me, and he says, "Foolish Brent, what's happened to you?
Yeah.
You know, you've been freed in Christ. Now you're going to go keep the law." You know, because that's what he said to the Galatians.
Right.
But, you know, see, what happens is, these law guys, they'll mention Jesus, you know. Oh, yeah, they'll quote the New Testament. But you know what happens? They mention law, 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 and guess what it is? Jesus is over to the side, you might as well say, and it's like they wave over. Hey, how you doing? And Jesus is waving. Hey, hey, the weightier matters. Hey, 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 I'm over here. Yeah, yeah, I know, and I got to preach the law right now. And just wave back to him maybe for a sec, or give him the nod or something. And they'll even mention baptism, because where I went, they did preach the immersion baptism, which was great. But the thing is they take the baptism, right? You've been forgiven your sins, great. Now we can keep the law again. No. After your baptism, and we're washed and cleansed by Christ, now Christ becomes greater than the law, not done away with. He expands it. He makes it harder for crying out loud.
Absolutely. It becomes harder. All of a sudden, adultery isn't physical. It's what you think with your mind. Or murder.
Exactly.
Murder isn't actually physical murder. It's what you're thinking with your mind. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it becomes, you know, way more harder.
Well, and there's the mind of God. He made it that there's no way anybody could pride themselves and think that they could do anything on the law. Because he made it totally impossible by, yes, he spiritualized it. But there's still the physical. Yeah, you don't commit adultery physically, but yeah, you don't lust either. Like, you know, this is God. He knows what he's doing, you know? So he died to bring us unto him, not back to the law. And that's the key right there. He died to bring us to him. Now we look to him. The law will be in our hearts, and it's the mind of Christ, and we need to seek him continually, daily, and be in him, and we will live right. We'll become slaves to righteousness. And these guys have no need for Christ. This is what happens after the baptism. Yeah, they did the right thing. Now we go to the law again. And our righteousness, you know, in us really, it's response to Jesus Christ's sacrifice. The legalist, he measures others according to the law, to his standard, with no background info. You know, they'll condemn others from their perspective of the law, without mercy, which in their mind, that's righteousness to them. And they take aspects of the law and elevate it to the level of the Ten Commandments. And I got a few examples, and I know you do too. If you want to give a couple of yours, because I got a few here, but just in general, what I've seen over the years and even recently, I've jotted a few down, but if you want to say something for a sec.
No, it's all right. Keep going.
Alrighty. Okay, clean and unclean meats. You and I both know that we're not supposed to eat pork and rats and mice. I mean, we know that. It's not one of the Ten Commandments. And to stand in pride and throwing that on people who are just understanding Jesus Christ is doing a disservice. And you
You come across a babe who doesn't know that eating pepperoni on their pizza is anything wrong with it, right? And
And
hey, I'm guilty of this. I remember when I first came into the Israel Truth and I first came into the Bible food laws, I was guilty of being pushing legalism on my friends. You know, now I didn't mean to, but I still did it. You know, because I was putting it out almost like it had something to do with their salvation. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I wasn't saying that. Don't get me wrong, but I can see where they, on the other hand, would instantly get their back up. You know, be ready to fight or whatever. You know, but yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. But keep going.
And I did the same thing as you, Kyle. I did the exact same thing. I threw that at people too. Keeping, like I say, of the holy days. That's what they'll do. They'll bring that, and that goes again now, past and beyond the Ten Commandments. They start adding more. You know, the keeping of the holy days is not a law written, you know, in your heart. You know,
that's another thing that's in Romans 14. It talks about those that keep certain days and those that don't. You know, one has weaker faith, one has greater faith, but you're not to judge another man's faith. I mean, so you know, it's the same as those that eat herbs and those that eat meat. You know, don't judge another man. Yeah, one is weaker, obviously. You know, but that there's no judgment there. You know,
well, no.
All that should be there is mercy and prayers that they get more faith or what you know, whatever. But anyway, go ahead.
But when the law is your measuring stick, there's no. It's black and white. That's it. There's no mercy.
True.
You can't. They have rules, of course, for keeping the Jewish Sabbath. You know, like. Discipline for people that if they worked on the Sabbath, lists of do's and don'ts, so you couldn't even enjoy the day, you know. Or how about this one? How to fast? It would be 1 hour of prayer, 1 hour of study, 1 hour of meditation.
Right.
Or how about this one? How to pray? You know, at least 2 hours a day, 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour at night. I'll tell you something. You talk to people who have been through trials or have lives that maybe aren't. The way we would all like, maybe they don't have a believing spouse, whatever. They maybe don't pray at all some days. Maybe they pray a minute. Maybe they pray just while they're walking or they're driving. God hears those, honors them, more than the Pharisee that sits there and says, yes, I did my 2 hours today.
Right.
That's a bondage you do not throw on other people. Now,
well, just in itself, if you say that to somebody, you're going to get your reward here. You know, I mean, that's just how it works. So every time you act like, well, I set aside this or I do that, you're, nobody's gonna know. I mean, maybe in one of my private conversations or something, I'll let somebody know what my devotion time is or however they want to put it. Because I don't want my reward to go before me. I want it to come after me, you know, and if I'm so busy trying to get people to honor me and to think, you know, and I know exactly where you're coming from because I grew up in a whole crowd of people like this, you know, and another thing they go for is they always try to tell you how spirit-led they are, but yet their fruits show that, well, obviously you're not too spirit-led or this wouldn't have happened or that wouldn't have happened because anybody, you know, that didn't have a blindfold on could see that. You know, I mean, but, I mean, the point is they're always trying to convince themselves, well, they praise themselves constantly.
Yeah.
That's what they do, you know. And
that's what they do.
And because they're trying to lift themselves up. It's just no different than, like you said, the Pharisees standing on the street corner in the long robes praying for hours and hours and hours and acting like they're really something.
Well, Jesus said, you know, when you fast, you know, you put some oil on your head, clean yourself up that nobody knows. You're fasting to your Father in heaven. The Pharisee would stand there and say, you know, oh, I'm fasting today and you know, everything else. And again, the reward is in heaven, but the legalist, it's now because they can stand and say, I'm so good. I do the law so well. But, you know, here's some more and that I've heard more recently. You can't eat meat that is rare with juice in it because the Bible says not to drink blood. You know what? If you want to put bondage on somebody like that, that's ridiculous.
Well, the one thing about that, if Pastor heard that, which he's not here to hear it, if anybody's seen the pastor eat a steak, I'm telling you, he wouldn't have set very well with that one.
No, I did have the honor of being the president.
I mean, I eat my steak well done because I can eat shoe leather that has the right steak sauce on it, to tell you the truth, you know. But when I moved out here and I started eating out with some of the folks out here, you know, I found a bit, I mean, I remember Peter saying to me one time, well done, you know, I mean, he just couldn't believe it, you know, so to tell you the truth, I never ordered it well done again in front of him. I always went medium well because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want him rolling his eyes, you know, because he couldn't believe somebody would ruin a steak by cooking it well done, you know. But anyway, go ahead.
I like them rare myself, so, and the thing is, the scripture says, yes, you do not drink blood. That's talking about drinking blood and, you know, it talks about, you know, I'm not going to get, these lobbies, I'm not going to go down the road of, you know, trying to explain it all, but the fact is that you throw this type of bondage onto people and kind of good-hearted people who want to obey God, it's just not right. And I've also seen a legalist many times, but I've seen it even, in more recent times, I've seen a legalist with no facts about the background of an individual attack them, berate them, claim they're not of God, judge they don't honor Jesus Christ and the victories in their life, judge the woman as a Jezebel, and then curses them for rejecting his counsel. Good Lord. You know, they use their measuring stick of the law when they look at people. Jesus Christ doesn't do that. You know, if we have the mind of Christ...
Thank God he doesn't do that, or we'd all be in deep trouble.
Woo! You betcha. Yep. Yeah. I wouldn't want to... We'd be hiding under anything we could hide under. You know... if we have the mind of Christ, we won't do it either. You know, Jesus Christ knows that we all come from diverse backgrounds and situations. And yeah, you know what? You know, like the list I'm giving there, this is above and beyond the Ten Commandments. Again, they're adding and making, you know, these things the measures of judgment and that. You know, stuff like, okay, order or behavior of children, men being men, women being women. They're all important. Of course they're important. However, using a judgmental standard of perfection, you know, without knowing the people, knowing their circumstance, their background, you know, it's judgment without mercy. And that's what legalists do. We don't know why people's children are or aren't one way or another. We've got to get to know them and have some mercy. Maybe we can help them, for crying out loud.
Well, it's all a faith issue. It's like homeschoolers. There are certain homeschoolers that almost condemn other people's children because they're not homeschooled.
And yeah, there's legalism again.
Yeah, absolutely. Or the other people's children might not dress quite like their children do. And what they do, I mean, frankly, is they make the other people almost avoid being a Christian. You know, because if that's the way it's gonna be, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're better off to go to public schools. Obviously not. You know.
No.
But you cannot expect everybody to have the same faith as you have. And I'm not saying in this case which faith is more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So which faith was more, those that just ate herbs or those that ate all things, it says, you know. And of course we're not talking about unclean foods, but we're talking about meats, you know.
Yeah.
Well, actually it lets you know whose faith was more, and it wasn't the ones that eats herbs, you know. So
That's right. It's
the ones who what they did was they blessed their food and they trusted in the Lord. The Lord would take care of them. You know, so you have these legalistic people, the ones that say, you know, oh, your skirt's above your knee. We should do something about that. I learned in a big hurry after I started being around pastor, you know, because I grew up in a church and I thought it was a great thing for all the women wore dresses to church. You know, and the men all wore slacks. Towards the later days, they started wearing a blue jeans, but you dressed in your best clothes for church. And I still think today that that's the proper way to be. But I found out in a big hurry from Pastor Peters that, no, you know, you don't choke them with that type of stuff. You know, you don't lose the congregation or lose a soul if that happens to be where it goes, because the woman's hair's too short or the man's hair's too long. Yes, we go by those things and we can use those things as a, maybe, you know, but to put them down as law and it's this way or the highway, you know, then you're running into really ruining souls and you're putting stumbling blocks in front of people.
That's right. I mean, there's certain things, homosexuality, adultery, you know, right off the Ten Commandments, don't tolerate. That's, you know, But when we start bringing stuff, like you're saying, up to the level of those,
right.
That's just...
I mean, I know children who have left gatherings, you know, almost in tears because other children, because of their parents, have made them feel so ungodly. And, you know, in some cases, guess what it made them be? Ungodly. Because they thought, if that's godliness, I don't want no part of it.
I don't want anything to do with it.
Yep.
Yeah. I just got one little bit left and one scripture, so I'll say it quick, I think, because we're probably getting close to the end.
We are, and the caller who's been holding, hey, I'm really sorry, we're down to 4 minutes, and you can call me after the show, and I'll give you a personal apology, and also see what you wanted to say, and maybe I'll bring it up next week. But anyway, go ahead, Brent.
Okay. I was going to say, like, they drain people of hope. They discourage people because they worship the law, and they pride themselves on the law. You know, most times that legalist, he's very disciplined. Okay, they're very disciplined. They've got a very, very strong will. It encourages self-righteousness because they feel they're pleasing God because they're able to keep certain standards of the law. And they look down at others that don't attain those standards. And sometimes it's simply they're just strong-willed and they can do it better. And they figure, well, I'm pleasing God. And the scripture is Luke 18, 10 to 13. Did you read it before, the one the two men went to the temple to pray?
No, sir.
The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as the rest of these men, the extortioners, unjust adulterers, even as this publican here. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the publican, standing far off, would not lift so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then the other one was Matthew 20, 25 to 28. And Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Not so shall it be among you, but whosoever would become great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever would be first among you shall be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Anybody wants to call themselves an elder, there's what they should be doing.
Hey, that makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, the first scripture you read there, one of the big things about that is humility. And you brought that up earlier. We got to have humility, you know. Anyway, I got to go. We're about out of time, Brent. But thanks for calling.
Sure. Okay, you take care, Kyle. Nice
talking to you. All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. See you.
And
bye-bye.
See you, everybody, tomorrow night for Wednesday night prayer meeting. Go out with a song.
Cheyenne, Cheyenne, where will you be camping tonight? Lonely man, Cheyenne, will your heart stay free and light? Dream, Cheyenne, of a girl you may never love. Move along. Drifting on.